The Disciplined Investor Podcast is underwritten by Interactive Brokers. Savvy investors use Portfolio Analyst to create a consolidated view of their finances and to check the health of their complete financial portfolio. Sign up for free at PortfolioAnalyst.com. And this episode is sponsored by OurCrowd.com, where you can invest in pre-vetted startups and exclusive venture funds. Build a diversified portfolio alongside trusted VC funds and angel investors. Visit OurCrowd.com/TDI.
The Disciplined Investor is all about you, your money, and the markets. Sit back and get ready for this edition of the Disciplined Investor Podcast.
This episode of The Disciplined Investor is sponsored by Horowitz & Company. If you're looking for a portfolio manager, look no further. Horowitz & Company. From seed through harvest, cultivating financial success.
We got a crazy crypto crush! Taper Talk has entered the building. And one last comment on those Pied Pipers. All this and much more on episode number 715 of the Disciplined Investor Podcast. Hey there, hey! Welcome to the Disciplined Investor Podcast, and I hope that your week has been successful in all your endeavors, everything that you do. Hope you didn't get too whipsawed in this market by this crypto crush that we see going on. Yeah, not only last week, but this weekend as well. As I'm looking at the bloodbath that is taking place in crypto, we're seeing that there are new lows in several names. I mean, you know, Ethereum cracked the 2,000 on the downside this weekend, and Bitcoin is sub 33,000. And you go down the list of Litecoin and Bitcoin Cash and NEO, and you look at Ripple. Ha, woo! Some real, real tough riding there. And then you have, of course, these Pied Pipers that are telling you that, you know, now the opportunity is finally here. You can get in so much cheaper. We're going to get into all of that. Let me do a quick introduction. I'm Andrew Horowitz. My voice is, it's almost back. Last week was pretty rough. On the DH Unplugged show, it was pretty rough. But this laryngitis that I had combined with the regular run-of-the-mill, old-fashioned, little kind of cold, which I confirmed, it's just that, is kind of making its way through. So hopefully we will be able to get through the whole show without a need for any kind of tea or coffee or something like that. So I'll give you a quick update of some of the things that are going on. I just came from this really cool event in Fort Lauderdale, which I didn't even know was going on, actually. But I was doing my morning run, and I was down by the water and down by the river, and all of a sudden I saw these people and all these signs, and I was like, what's going on? Well, it's the Color Run. I'm like, well, that's cool. I've seen this before in other towns. You know, you see the pictures of it. I've seen it clearly in India when they do the celebration, the holiday with all the colors. So I kind of got in the middle of all of this, and I was kind of surprised, actually, how long it took to scrub off. The green was the toughest color. It's powder. And as you're running and as you're going through this 5K, you get there's people that are spraying this powder, this colored powder, this pink, this red, this blue, this green. And I had all this green all over me by the time I was done. Again, not intentionally going to do that. I was just doing my regular run, but I just got in the middle, I guess. But it was so cool and so beautiful. First, to see all these people out on a beautiful weekend day. And secondly, the just the colors and the smoke plumes, if you can imagine, blowing in the wind that were there. It was such a wonderful sight. So it's nice to see people out. Never, if you've never done, I think they're coming around in this particular Color Run charity run is going to be hitting a lot of communities out there. So kind of a cool weekend. But as I was going through my run and seeing all this wonderful stuff, I started really thinking about, hey, what am I going to talk about this week? You know, I mean, all throughout the week, I do some prepping and planning and thinking about what it's going to be. But I really wanted to, what's bothering me? Because there's kind of some things that are gnawing at me. And I figure, you know, if it's gnawing at me, it's got to be kind of making you a little bit crazy. And what I started thinking about was that we have these elephants in the room, these incredible points of interest that are being just pushed aside in the world of finance. And I thought that maybe this is something that we could talk about and flush out if there, you know, is something to be flushed out here and something that we could do about it, because it is something that I think that is being ignored. Everybody knows it's there. It's not being ignored because it's not there. They're choosing not to look at this. And of course, the first thing we could talk about is the wild moves with Bitcoin and the coin space entirely. And I think that's something worth discussing. I don't think necessarily that is totally tied to markets. In other words, is there a systematic risk that comes along with what's going on with the coin market right now? To a degree, there is some potential for spillover of risk appetite and the concern about if money was being used inside of the crypto world, inside of the coin world, to maybe pull out and invest in stocks and trade back and forth. Maybe, I don't know if that's something. That could be. But I don't think this necessarily poses at this point and this juncture where we are because of the lack of the interaction and interrelationship of coins and the economy itself, aside from the fact that people who have made a lot of wealth with coins, especially over the last year or so, obviously are giving back into the economy. But many of them also are holding on to them for dear life, no matter what the price is. So a couple things I think is important to mention about this. And whether or not you trade with it or hold it, I think what's important about this, it does give us some insight. It gives us a view into the psychology of markets. And when we look at this, and as we're going to talk about this, I think the interesting point here is this behavioral finance side of things. We could substitute other matters for what's going on to look at what the human nature side and reactionary side of investing is all about, to hopefully help provide you with some degree of understanding of why you're making the decisions that you're making. And those decisions that you make sometimes that are, well, not so beneficial to your financial health. And where do we go to solve that? Where do we go and how do we fix those poor decisions? Let me tell you right now, there is no perfection in the world of investing because a lot of things are out of your control. And when they're out of your control, the problem is that you have a situation where even if you make the best decision of your life, the potential is that that may be acted upon by others because of other circumstances that are outside of your control, and therefore the decision, which may have been perfectly set up, could be a bust. But I want to go to what's going on within the crypto space, because it's very reminiscent of other times. And it's very interesting to look at with regard to what's happening, particularly with the use of social media and leveraged marketing to get in people's heads. Because the narrative that we have right now, the meme investing, right, where everything is kind of an interesting phrase or diamond hands that you hear about. And what's happening? I mean, we're seeing a crush inside of in the universe, I'll call it the coin universe. What happened to diamond hands? It's diamond hands until you can't take it anymore, right? Does that mean that somebody calls you paper hands or wood hands, that's a negative thing that you're going to have to hang your head low about? They're just trying to get you to hold on for dear life to make sure their positioning holds. Listen, what is going on in the world of crypto right now with the crypto Pied Pipers, with the crypto evangelists, is very simple. It's nothing more. You think they care about you? No. All they care about is their positioning. The onslaught of various micro-advertising in the form of tweets and other types of social media interactions on Instagram and Facebook, and even LinkedIn, where they're putting up all these commentary of, hey, you know, we've seen these kinds of downstrokes before. It is just part and parcel of owning Bitcoin. 50, 60, 70, 80% peak to trough levels. Don't worry. Don't worry. It always happens. Always. Always a matter of a few years. But they do not want you selling anything. But right now what's happening, we have some real news that is undermining the idea of usage of Bitcoin and mining. And of course, a lot of this started with our good old friend Elon Musk, one of the main Pied Pipers. You know, we got Mark Cuban, we got Chamath, we even got Pompliano, we got all the Pied Pipers and the evangelists. And they, listen, they do believe in what they're doing. So that's good. And they have some relatively well thought out and cogent arguments to why this is really a great thing. But one of the problems they have right now that may, in fact, it's not going to change their minds, by the way, but what may actually change the narrative and the bull case argument is what's going on right now with governments. Because governments are getting pissed. Governments are angry. They don't want people taking money out, particularly in China and India. They don't want their citizens taking the money out into another currency outside of their purview, their ability to oversee and manage. And this is exactly, by the way, the whole reason to own cryptocurrencies. No longer do you have to worry about what's going on with regard to government intervention, debasement of currency, oversight, freedom, all these wonderful things. The problem is, this is seriously a problem, if China says, hey, well, that's great, but no, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Could you imagine if the world, just for a moment, let's go to this full extreme level. The world outlaws their people in their countries from owning, transacting, mining, using, looking at, thinking about any kind of cryptocurrency. Just for a moment, let's go crazy. Let's go just wild here and say that that is what is going to be the case. What kind of opportunity then does someone have to own a currency that is outside of the legal system of their government? Because everybody in the world is part of some place, right? Or citizens of a country somewhere, and we got to follow the rules. And if and as you think about this, the bigger the Bitcoin / cryptocurrency market gets, the more chance that it's really going to aggravate certain areas around the world, because it's going to take from where they need to have the oversight management to ensure an economy that is stable. One of the main ways that countries can stabilize things like inflation or change things level off, increase, decrease growth. One of the ways is currency rate exchanges. Those may not be overt, where you'd have a country saying, hey, we're dropping our currency down. No, they may do other things subtly in the background, or maybe not so subtly. What they'll do is they'll embark on all sorts of economic campaigns with their central banks, like we're seeing right now, which is, again, the narrative that you hear from the coin world. And then you all of a sudden have a situation where you're competing. And if you're competing, unfortunately, again, one of the reasons to hold a coin is because it's independent. No government oversees it, et cetera. The problem is if it's outlawed by the government, there's nothing that you can do. Now, that's number one. It's China. I think what's happening is money is leaving the system. And there's a loss of control of the financial system that they're looking at. That's potentially a problem. Now, maybe what's happening also is a bit of a realization. Like, what's the use case for Bitcoin or any of these other coins? Well, one of the things we're seeing it pop up on is a payment system for ransomware. That seems to be something that's very popular. And there's turnkey ransomware that's available. I've been talking to some IT people. This is pretty fascinating and scary at the same time, where if you're a hacker and you find a way into some system somewhere, you can go out on the dark web and you can hire a variety of different ransomware programs to manage the entire process of locking up the system and going through the process of then what has to happen for payment and the payment process through Bitcoin or other coin. I mean, this is a problem. And what would this look like? What would this ransomware look like if there was no Bitcoin? I mean, are we to go back to, I guess the only thing I could think of, I guess it would be cash in suitcases that you drop off at this phone and this garbage can and unmarked bills and untraceable bills and nobody's followed me and the feds aren't involved, you know, that whole thing. Now, China did in fact come out and say, hey, you know what? We are not going to put up with this coin. That's them. United States, two times this week, there were comments. And not only did China come out once this week, but twice this week. Friday morning, the second time, they were out with warnings again, which is kind of interesting because it's Friday morning here. It's Friday evening. Who puts out a warning on a Friday night at 10 o'clock at night? That's what they did. They're serious. And now we're hearing from the crypto religious that this is normal. Go buy the dip. Got to ride it out. Listen, let's look at the past. Bitcoin has had many 50% pullbacks. Yeah, and that's true. That's true. But my question is, why do we need to see this constant meme fest? This nonstop flow of propaganda, which is what it is. The question I have, and I want to know, no need, this is rhetorical. Okay, I pretty much know. Shouldn't these instruments stand on their own? I mean, maybe some of these memes and this propaganda is kind of needed in a way to educate as a young asset class starts to get its legs and starts to move through. But then you have to ask, is it really even an asset class? What is this? It has no backing. It has no tangible value. There's no fundamentals. There's no country backing. And again, which is what the benefit is in one degree. So it seems like the main backing right now that I can see is all the social media push. It's all about getting rich rather than necessarily utility and desperate pumps. And I have an announcement, by the way. I own a small amount of crypto. I call it my spec plays. When I say small amount, relatively small amount. Enough to get excited if something really crazy happens, but not get upset if things don't work out. It's a spec play, a speculative play for me. And maybe, perhaps, possibly, in a little corner of my mind, possibly a little diversifier. But I also classify this as outside the core. What do I mean by that? So what was outside the core? So when I put together my asset allocation, my sector allocation, what my portfolio looks like from a diversification standpoint, you know what I do? Well, I'll tell you what I don't do. I don't include the cryptocurrency as part of my asset allocation. So it's kind of separate and aside. Now, another announcement. I also work the short side of this through ETFs. Unfortunately, I usually close it by the end of the day. It's a day trade, intraday trade. Very, I would say, illiquid trade. It's hard to do in a massive scale. Kind of put a few shares on here or there. You really can't do a big amount of this because it doesn't really necessarily have the liquidity that you would want. You could move the markets with a big enough trade on it. And so I worked the short side just for kind of a little bit of an offset against my small long side. And again, very speculative and technically driven. And maybe I got to be honest, think of this like gambling. And the question that I have then, if I think about this as my gambling money, which is fine, it's fun, it's entertaining, so is bets on a horse, fantasy football league. Question, do you put your fantasy football league on your balance sheet or on your asset allocation? No. No. You don't do that, right? So why are you going to put your speculative crypto transactions, plays, holdings on your asset allocation? It's kind of a holding on the side. If you win that fantasy football, if you win that trifecta, if you get that bet on that team that you wanted to win the Super Bowl, again, it becomes cash eventually, and it goes on your balance sheet that way. But during the play, during the lifetime of a bet being open, it doesn't necessarily fit on there. And that's how I want you to think to a degree about any of these cryptocurrencies that you own. Now, I would venture to say that any listener that has been here for a long enough period of time probably doesn't have the mass of their wealth invested in cryptocurrency. I'm speculating. You may have some, you may trade it. We've talked about this for years. But right now it's really coming to a head when we're seeing that there is a significant amount of volatility that is beyond just the simple movement of investors on nothing, where there's really some very significant news that is flowing that could be a game changer to a degree. It's something to think about. And I don't want to really get in deep into a lot of the discussion about this. It was more about the psychology of what's happening now and why it's happening. Because these pieces of news, much like you would see if you saw the Fed tightening in a very significant way, or we're going to talk about something for a moment, another elephant in the room, but these kinds of pumps and on one side, very propaganda-ish style of constant pumping. I've seen this before. You've seen this before. You know where this goes. It's the gambling side. So think of it as that, but understand the psychology of this is massive groupthink. It is, if it's moving higher, let's buy it. Now the psychology has changed because the game has changed. Be the equivalent of betting on football, and all of a sudden, they're saying that there's a cap on how much you could win. Or, we're not playing football anymore. Well, you can't bet on it anymore. And what are you going to do? Well, you take your money out of that football pool that you have and move it on. Kind of what's happening now. I would watch to see how this works, but the point is that there's an excitement. There's a strike it rich feature. There is the opportunity of a lifetime that's sitting there, and you're wondering, how could I not? And you get involved. And again, I think this psychology and this behavioral finance lesson of how when things get really overdone and you start to see this massive amount of propaganda, which should be outlawed, by the way. You shouldn't have public figures, CEOs particularly of companies, pumping positions. Michael Saylor from MicroStrategy, oh, the genius, the great guy. Listen, he's got a history, this guy, too, okay? Built a great company, MicroStrategy, have no problem with that at all. Very impressive. But he's got a history of doing some interesting things in the past. You can look at some of the SEC filings with regard to what happened in the early 2000s with his team may not have been him directly, but his team and his company, and how the stock got cut in half due to some income recognition, I believe it was. But the point is that once again, we have these evangelists that really need you, to buy in to whatever they're talking about. No different than, hey, if you donate to me, you won't go to hell. Donate to me, and you're going to go to heaven. Now, there's really no way to prove that, is there? Nope, I can't really prove that, but do I want to take the risk of not donating? Because what if it's true? And a few dollars can go a long way to get me into the pearly gates. So there's this whole unproven truth, right, that's being propagated throughout the system. And that's what we're biting on. It's what we're living on. And that's what the Fed does as well, the constant carrot in front of all this. But there's another big elephant in the room. There's so many elephants in my room. It's like I feel like there's it's me and a herd. There's big things happening in a lot of areas. Big things happening in the IPO space, as a matter of fact. And I want to kind of take a break and talk about our crowd for a second, because a lot of people obviously have hoped and wished that they've been in some of the best performing IPOs, stocks that come to public markets back from 2019, 2020. And the thing you need to know is that our crowd investors were, and now you can join them in what's next. With our crowd, accredited investors have access to invest directly, easily, and most importantly, early. Our crowd investors have benefited from our crowd companies IPOing like Beyond Meat, or being bought by companies like an Intel, Nike, Microsoft, Oracle. And as I mentioned, it's important to check out all the different options out there. And today you can join our crowd's investment in Cyto Reason. And Cyto Reason has partnered with 5 of the 10 largest pharma companies to deliver life-saving drugs at a fraction of the time and cost. Cyto Reason's AI models the human body at the molecular level, completely changing what's possible in the trillion-dollar drug development landscape. And you can get in on Cyto Reason and other unique opportunities at ourcrowd.com/TDI. It's ourcrowd.com/TDI. And if you're interested in investing, you need to join Our Crowd. The Our Crowd account is free. Just go to ourcrowd.com/TDI. And something else we're going to talk about right now, we'll just make sure you know about this as well during our little break section here, is that, you know, a lot of people are kind of looking for alternatives and ways to make a little bit of extra money. And particularly you could do so because, well, I know everybody's looking to make a little extra money. Interactive Brokers has this stock yield enhancement program. We've talked about this before. And what it does is it lets you earn extra income on fully paid shares of stock inside your brokerage account. So you have them there already. Now all of a sudden you can make some extra money on it. Basically, here's how it works. You lend the shares to traders who pay you an interest rate to borrow them. So you have your shares anyway, you lend them out. You can still trade them if you want, but you get paid to lend those out. The other people pay you. And you receive 50% of the income earned in totality. You share it. That's good. Couldn't get it otherwise. It's that simple. So open an Interactive Brokers account today and start earning income. And you can learn more about this at ibkr.com/SYEP. So now back to my elephants. Let's get back to my elephants. All right, we know this. I think it's pretty clear as a high quality gin. And I don't think there's anybody that doesn't recognize this right now. I mean, prices are going up. And it's very hard to stuff that genie back into the bottle once we see that that pricing has come up to a level that is required to meet the, you know, cost factors and profitability of companies, et cetera. And, you know, there are certain things that will be volatile. Like we see what's going on with lumber, you know, up and down, up and down. Still very high. But even over the past week, I've seen incredibly desperate measures within, for example, the hospitality industry on providing bonuses and excess pay to attract and retain. And again, first of all, I think it's great. People should get paid lots and lots of money for the good job they do, assuming they're doing a good job. But what's happening here is that we are rewarding mediocrity, which happens over and over again. But okay, not in all cases. So don't get all up in arms and get the hair on the back of your neck all standing up and freaked out here. But I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. People that don't want to come back to work because they're getting a couple of extra dollars more. They're not concerned about the quality of their work. They're concerned about their paycheck. And I understand that. I totally get it. I was in the hospitality industry for years back in the 80s. So I get it. And pay is going up. And you need to do so. I understand that. And again, I think it's a good thing. However, there's several sides to this equation. There's a push and pull. There's a yin and a yang. Because how is that really going to impact the rest of the economy? And I know some people are saying, who cares? Just pay me more. Okay, I got it. I understand that. I get it. But what does that mean to you? Well, if you get paid more, I am telling you that prices somewhere else are going to be pushing out. We talked about all the excess costs in things like lumber and copper. And even though lumber's come off a bit, it's still at a ridiculously high level, still very elevated. All of this is attributable to the reopening and the massive stimulus that's out there, the ongoing unemployment and excess and federally, the excess federal unemployment rate, low rates, the ZERP. We all know this. It's obvious. The problem is that the quickened pace of these price movements is going to get noticed. Listen, the Fed is doing their best. Now, we could stop there, have a little laugh. What does that even mean? But let me just share with you, they are doing their best, but unfortunately, in my opinion, they have no idea what to do at this point. And I'm not saying I do or anybody does. Factual point here. It's impossible because this has never happened before at the level that it's happening now. In the same way, when's the last time we had a pandemic reopening in a technology-enhanced environment? That communication was instantaneous, where the ability to work from anywhere at any time and switch that location was available. Let's all agree that this is not a normal economic recovery from a normal, everyday, run-of-the-mill recession. That I can't stress that enough. I mean, we don't exactly know. Now, that's okay. And you can see that, by the way, in the estimates and what analysts are saying that's going to potentially happen with Philly Fed numbers or durable goods or unemployment numbers, or look inside of the wholesale inventory, retail sales. When you look at all that and you realize that they have no idea, okay? I'm not really saying they suck. No, I'm saying I'm giving them a pass because it's impossible, in my opinion, to really understand. So that if that elephant, aside from this inflation and I've been pounding the desk about forever, I think I even pounded the microphone last week. I remember doing that. It sounded terrible. It's the Fed and their need to slow down purchase of bonds as a first step. And just this week, they started to hint about this. They started to mention that several members are thinking about having that discussion. Remember, they want to ease us in and ease us out. So we have this elephant, this inflation elephant. But really what we have is this elephant that we are going to start to see a slowdown in purchases of bonds. And how is that going to impact the interest rate in interest rate market, the corporate bond market, the municipal bond market, the treasury bond market? And we also know something else. They're buying $120 billion of treasuries a month. However, even at 80, that's an enormous number. At 60, it's still pretty big. 50, large. 30, abnormal, coming back. Problem is that what we have is a situation where the Fed is overdoing it, keeping interest rates low. Federal government is stimulating and is causing a major lump in prices. Let's loop back for a second and talk about this quantitative easing. The money printing, remember something, is also the bull case for cryptos. The idea that the Fed could just print money out of anywhere and then the supply continues and the money is debased and worth less and our money, the dollar, is going to go to zero one day. And why would you want to hold that? Why would you want to hold a currency that is going down? You want something that is free from all that and that will hold and maintain its value. Now, if in fact that is the discussion, but yet now all of a sudden the Fed turns tail and slows down their purchases and stops their quantitative money burning debasement program or slows it down a bit, what does that do to the argument about owning cryptocurrency? So something that may be in the back of people's minds as well. But what's going to be next? Well, I'll tell you something. You're going to see over the next few weeks a parade, the Fed speakers come out, lots of trial balloons starting to talk about, you know, maybe pick a month, January, August, March. We're going to think about looking at this again and starting to scale back. Remember, they talked about how their interest rates would stay low and in the zero bound through 2023. They really didn't talk about any date for their bond buying program, the quantitative easing. So therefore, they have a little cover. They could start working on this. And if they do, what's going to happen? Because they're going to probably want to do it in a way that it's a slow boil. And what's interesting is even on the word from the Fed minutes on Wednesday, that they were thinking about this, bonds haven't really moved. As a matter of fact, bonds backed up a little bit. And rates haven't really moved that much over the past month within a bit of a range. I suspect that if we keep seeing price escalation of goods and an upward trajectory of this inflation discussion, that we may see more discussion about the potential for slowing down on quantitative easing. That will be one way of their slowing down some of this. But what we want to be careful of and what could happen and what may be starting to develop a little bit here is we may be getting possibly, I'm saying this with just a moment of, well, uncertainty, that could we have stagflation coming? I mean, as we level off and the demand that has been pulled forward abates, well, what can, you know, what will things look like? The definition of stagflation is the persistent high inflation combined with high unemployment and stagnant demand in a country's economy. Persistent high inflation, check. I'm going to check that off right now. Check. Combined with high unemployment, check. And stagnant demand in a country's economy. So, first of all, realize that stagflation is persistent high inflation. We have inflation right now. That's why they keep talking about transitory, temporary. It's not persistent yet. So that's kind of a half check. Combined with high unemployment, 6.1, above average. Maybe not high, 8's high. and stagnant demand. Stagnant demand? Nope, not right now. But that could be coming as we see this pull forward. So we have all the ingredients. The pie's just not in the oven quite yet. All the ingredients are there. The question is, how is this going to be battled? And clearly, we have to do something with the employment situation. The Fed is going to keep on trying to pound that table, get that under 6.1% down to fives, and maybe even hope for fours. It's going to take a while. You know, the longer we allow for, I think this is part of it, not all of it, but longer we allow for people to get paid more money than they would so as they were working, which is nice. That helps the economy in a different way, right? Doesn't matter where the money's coming from, it just goes into the economy. But the longer we have that, the longer we're going to have a situation where we have elevated unemployment levels. And there's even more coming in, I think, in the next stimulus. And I think over the weekend, I heard some discussion about we still need to give more payments to some people in the economy. I just can't imagine this, we're going to have anything fixed by continuing this process. And then the likelihood or chance of that pie being baked, that stagflation, upside down pineapple cake, much higher chance. So with all these things, with the psychology of what's happening in the crypto space and everybody running for cover in a change of the model of what's happening from countries around the world, people getting spooked. I'm not going to talk about paper and diamond hands, but people saying, wait a minute, do I really want to be involved if there's a change in the reasoning? Which is then port that over to what if the second elephant, which is the potential for the Fed to start slowing down on bond purchasing, do I want to be in certain risk assets if they're not going to support it to the level they were supporting? Again, a change in the dynamic. You got to remember. You got to remember this is all possible. And the question then is, what am I asking you to do about it? What should you do about this? Here's the punchline. It's what you've all been waiting for in this discussion. You're probably going to be a little disappointed with what I'm going to tell you. Because if you've been here long enough, you know that I don't like to get too far ahead of the trend. In other words, don't fight the near term, but keep an eye towards the long term. Don't fight the near term, but keep an eye toward the long term. Back in 2005 and 6, take it back, rewind a little bit, I learned a very valuable lesson. See, I was watching what was happening in the housing markets. And I saw, as plain as day, what the problem was. And I saw there was going to be a massive problem. And for a moment, just a split second, I tried to get ahead of the trend. But the general upward trajectory of risk assets that kept on going lasted a few more years. There was really no way at that point to get involved in anything more than just either sitting on the sidelines or playing along with it. And so maybe I missed out on some of the significant upside of that. Not all of it. Did get some of it. However, the good news is that we also protected client money during this subsequent fall, gave us the opportunity then to really have a much more peaceful move through that whole entire breakdown. Because when you are in a situation where you're losing money, you're losing money in a serious way, you make very bad decisions. Not everybody. Some people say, oh, buy back in. However, if you're in a position of strength, you can make much better decisions. And this is why I've been continually talking about this one foot in, one foot out, and now the one foot out, one foot in strategy that we have for our clients, playing both sides of the outcomes. Playing both sides of the outcomes. Like, if you invite somebody over and you know that everybody loves chocolate, but having some vanilla ice cream in the freezer as well, because even if you like chocolate better, this, man, you don't know. Prepare for everything and anything. If nothing else, kind of like have an emergency bunker plan for your portfolio and your finances. If nothing else, think about, well, where is my positioning now? And what if this happens? How will I be able to deal with it? And what will be my response? Prepare for anything and everything. That's the key here. That's the key. Make sure you don't just take the information and say, well, oh, that was interesting, weird, and okay. And listen to all the people that are just trying to calm you. Listen, in the beginning of the pandemic, everybody was telling us it was nothing. Don't worry about it. It's nothing. We got three cases, not going anywhere. Don't worry. We're not going to shut down. We're not going to do that. Hello? Make your own decisions based on what you know and what you know to be true. Now, next week, we are going to be digging into what diversification really means. You may be like, well, I know, I got a few things here, I got a few things there, I'm diversified. No. I mean, something we really haven't talked about in a while, digging deep into the discussion about sectors and asset classes and what where do you really want to be when it comes to, you know, the areas of non-US. Do you want to be in emerging markets? Do you want to be in what we call international SMID? We'll discuss that. We're going to go through all of that with in detail. And I think it's going to be something that will give you a really good, deep-rooted understanding of portfolio development and diversification, proper asset allocation. And I think this really fits right now with what we're talking about, with what's going on with all my pesky elephants and all that's happening in markets right now and what's ahead of us. So make sure to tune into that. Hey, listen, thanks for joining me this week and every week. Make sure to leave a review over on iTunes and anywhere else that has a review available. Hit me up on Twitter, Andrew Horowitz, one word on Twitter. And go over to disciplinedinvestor.com if you want to ask me any questions, leave comments, or just check out the strategies that we run for our clients. Until next week, I bid you adieu. Thank you so much for joining me. I'll see you again soon. Bye-bye. Nothing discussed in this podcast should be considered a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Past performance is no indication of future results. In addition, the information presented is not intended to be used as a sole basis of any investment decisions, nor should be construed as advice designed to meet the individual needs of any particular investor. Nothing herein constitutes legal, accounting, or tax advice or individually tailored investment advice. Remember, investing involves substantial risk. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results, and a loss of original capital may occur. No one receiving or accessing this information should make any investment decision without first consulting his or her own personal financial advisor and conducting his or her own research and due diligence, including carefully reviewing any applicable prospectuses, press releases, reports, and other public filings of the issuer of any securities being considered. Please consider this for educational purposes only. As always, use your best judgment when investing. Horowitz & Company, Inc. is registered as an investment advisor with the state of Florida and conducts business in other states where it is properly registered or is excluded from registration requirements. Registration does not imply any level of skill or training. Advertisements are not related to the host or affiliates and are not considered recommendations by the host of the show or any affiliates of Horowitz & Company.